Hello and welcome to the Friday, August 24th, 2012 edition of the SANS Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Well, let's start with diaries, and we got a real nice one here from Boyan about analyzing outgoing network traffic. It's not really a new idea, but still not done frequently enough, I find. Now, it has gotten a little bit more of a following now under the label of data leakage protection, but data leakage protection often just focuses on certain patterns that leave your network, like confidential information. Sometimes, of course, data leakage protection also examines hosts to make sure that confidential data isn't necessarily spreading inside the organization to hosts that are not secured well enough to house that information. Now, what Boyan here is referring to is, for example, checking if any hosts in your network are connecting to known malicious hosts. Examples he has here is the Russian business network. Emerging threats keeps a pretty nice track of that. And then, of course, things like the SUS tracker or SpyEye tracker and similar systems that track common command and control hosts. These later are certainly very helpful for larger networks where you have some not so well managed hosts that are then infected by these pieces of malware. OpenDNS, of course, is one way to filter this. However, if you do want logs from OpenDNS to actually see who in your network or if your network is infected, then you have to pay for their additional services. This particular diary already has a number of comments, so check them out for additional URL lists and such that you can download for free in order to detect infected hosts. And then as feature of the week, we have a diary by Adam. Adam is just pointing out our contact page. We do refer to it quite a bit if you're not familiar with it. One of the things that's often overlooked is it also allows you to upload files to us. The nice thing about this is it's not going through any email gateways, so you're less likely to have, for example, malicious attachments being stripped if you are using the contact upload form. And yes, we do like malicious software to be uploaded. And then we got a little bit more information from McAfee about last weekend's hiccup with its DAT files. If you happened to install the bad update file, you may have actually lost internet connectivity and you were unable to then download the later fixed files. Now McAfee has a page with some hints on how to get these systems working again. Of course, this was quite a few days ago, so I'm wondering how many people actually are still stuck with this or have already rebuilt systems. And TrustWave's Spider Labs look closer at Windows 7 and Windows 8 to see how password hints are stored in the operating system. Turns out they're actually not encrypted and just padded and obfuscated, so they're pretty easy to extract from the operating system and then could help an attacker to crack passwords once the attacker knows what the hint is. Now, I always recommend that you shouldn't set up a password hint, but most operating systems, including Windows, of course, almost force you to set up a password hint just to avoid issues with lost passwords. For a local attacker sitting at the console, of course, that's not really a big deal. The local attacker would just have to enter a wrong password and then ask for the password hint to be displayed. I see this more as an issue for a remote attacker who then gets more hints on how to crack the password. And of course, even a very strong password could be rather weak if the password hint gives it away. And host-based intrusion protection system company Carbon Black did sort of an interesting study about antivirus and how it deals with older malware. In particular, what they looked at was, if a particular malware was not detected within the first couple days of it coming out, will it be detected further in the future, for example, 30 days later? And what they found is that if the malware was not detected within the first couple days, it will not be detected later either, which actually is not necessarily a weakness of antivirus. It kind of makes actually sense. Viruses or malware have a very limited lifetime. So if you don't detect it within the first couple days, this particular sample probably doesn't matter. And detecting it would not necessarily add a lot of extra protection because the malware is no longer in circulation. Now, I'll also link to sort of a counter post by antivirus company ESET. One thing I think they have sort of a legitimate issue with is that the Carbon Black study relies heavily on virus total. That's a common critique of a lot of these studies. The problem with virus total is that it analyzes static samples. Now, that's a pretty good indication what, for example, antivirus software on a mail server would do. However, antivirus software on a host and actually investigating the running sample may be able to do a little bit behavioral analysis. Well, anyway, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.